Today's episode of the Hashrate Podcast is brought to you by Luxor Technology, North America's largest mining pool. Luxor's goal is to operate enterprise-class mining pools with professionalism and an intense customer focus. They provide a top-notch user experience and have a great selection of pools for you to mine to, from a variety of notable altcoins to Big Daddy Bitcoin, for which they launched their mining pool in October, so be sure to go and check them out. We are incredibly grateful that Luxor has chosen to sponsor this show going into 2020. We would love it if you, as listeners, would support the show by supporting them. You can find them online at luxor.tech and give them a follow on Twitter at Luxor Tech Team. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into the Hashrate Podcast, the best crypto mining podcast in the history of the world. On today's episode, I am joined by Mr. Johnson Zhu, Chief Analyst for Token Insight. Token Insight does a great job of providing accurate research on the Chinese mining markets. They've got a strong presence in China and they know what they are talking about. It was great that Johnson was able to make the time to join me for this so we could have a detailed conversation about his findings through research on what's going on in China regarding Bitcoin mining and where he sees the mining market over there going in the next handful of months, especially post-halving. So I hope you all enjoy this episode. And if you do, please take a moment and leave us a rating and review on your preferred listening platform. And as always, today's episode of the Hashrate Podcast is presented to you by Hashrate OS. Hashrate OS is a Linux-based operating system designed to help you increase the efficiency of your mining machines and maximize your overall profitability. Now with ASIC and GPU support, Hashrate OS provides the best experience in crypto mining, allowing you to manage your facility fully from any mobile device and take complete control of your mining operations. Hashrate OS is mining as it should be. Be sure to head over and check out the Hashrate operating system at os.hashrate.com. Again, that's os.hashr8.com. All right, without further ado, on to the show. Hey, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the Hashrate Podcast. I am the Bitcoin Broski, and I have got a very exciting guest today. Okay, so we all know that the halving is right around the corner, and we've seen some really good research come out about mining, Bitcoin mining specifically, and the halving. And there are a couple of great companies that have started to produce quality research. Today, I'm fortunate to be joined by Johnson Zhu, Chief Analyst of Token Insight. And Token Insight has been leading this charge of quality mining information, specifically talking about how the mining industry in China is reacting as we approach the halving. So I'm really excited to get to have this conversation with Johnson today. We've got some good things that we're going to talk about. Specifically, we will discuss the Chinese mining community. We're also going to talk a little bit about why Binance is getting into Bitcoin mining by starting their own pool. But I'm really excited to have Johnson on the show. Johnson, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Whit. Hello, everyone. I'm excited to be on the show.
Awesome, man. Awesome. This is going to be a great conversation. So, Johnson, before we get into what we're going to discuss, I'd love to hear more about your background, how you got started with Token Insight, and how Token Insight aims to serve the mining community.
Perfect. So I joined Token Insight roughly about half a year ago. I was mainly based in Melbourne, Australia, doing bits and pieces within the industry. Before Token Insight, I was working at Warby Australia, and my background is in computer science and also finance. So how Token Insight aims to serve miner, really? So give you guys a bit of a brief background about Token Insight. So Token Insight is a data-driven financial technology company focusing in the crypto blockchain industry. So we have a market intelligence team looking around research area, particularly in mining industry. So the good thing about Token Insight is that we headquartered in Beijing, China. So essentially we have all those first-hand resources, first-hand insights about the mining market in China. Take an example of that. We do due diligence on mining farms in China. So pretty much leveraging our local connection and resources. By due diligence means essentially personally visiting the mining farms in China and conducting due diligence. We do have comprehensive understanding of the mining industry. So essentially we have interviewed local miners in regards to, say, for example, halving, say, for example, mining assets pricing and so on and so forth. We do have our unique perspectives from the Chinese mining market. And also we are combining the view from the West and also the East to deliver deep insights in regards to the mining market. And also, lastly, our writing and research business essentially establishing a strong branding in the industry and act as a hub in the blockchain industry, especially in China. So our vision is to find, create, and spread value in the blockchain industry. We're an early stage startup, so being 2 years, so established in 2018, but we are on our way to become a research house or research powerhouse or industry sort of a rating and research business, delivering strong insights to the market. So that's a brief overview about Token Insight.
I like the term research powerhouse. That's a catchy one. Over the last like 8 months, I would say 8 to 9 months, we've seen this surge in quality mining content, and each research company has their own specialty or focus or approach to how they are researching. When it comes to the others, though, it tends to be that their struggle is getting quality information on what's happening in China. You guys are obviously there and familiar and very well versed in the Chinese mining market. That's a great competitive advantage. And it's clear from your research, it gives you guys a really cool perspective. You know, I wanted
us to
talk today about, you know, what you guys are seeing from the Chinese mining markets. So, I mean, just from a broad standpoint, how are the Chinese markets right now when it comes to the mining markets? How are they responding to the recent dip in Bitcoin's price as we approach the halving?
That's a really, really good question. From a broader overview, in terms of Chinese mining market, the Chinese miners are really running like a business rather than taking Bitcoin as a decentralization concept, programmable money, and so on and so forth. So they don't really interest or they don't really take as in terms of programmable money angle, but more around the business angle. So they will strongly look at profit and loss. They will strongly look at operating expenses, electricity costs, where do we host the miners? How do you actually cooling off? And just trying to minimize all those operating costs as much as possible. So in terms of the overall Chinese mining market, it's very different compared to the West or compared to the rest of the world as well. From my point of view is that all the Chinese mining community are heavily looking at price and also heavily looking at the ASIC price in terms of when is the right time to enter into the mining market and how do I get benefit or how do I actually profit from the mining business rather than looking at how much Bitcoin can I mine or how much decentralization can I contribute towards the mining industry.
So with that mindset, do they mine and hold or are they liquidating on a more regular basis, like every day, week, month? Mm. How does that tend to work with their operations?
It's a different sort of scenario for different miners. So what I know is that some of the miners actually liquidated, say for example, just to cover their expenses. Most the well-connected miner or experienced miner, they leverage lending and borrowing. So they actually sort of lend out their Bitcoin as a collateral and borrow fiat to pay out electricity expenses. And then say for example, once the market shooting back towards, I don't know, taking double of 10K, they might just deleverage their position and then sell off some Bitcoin to pay off the debt. Essentially, some of the miner works that way. And another group of miner might be a strong hodler. So essentially, they will accumulate Bitcoin as much as possible. That's quite low in percentage in the Chinese mining market, just because the majority of the miners' mindsets are mainly around running as a business.
The lending products, I think, are awesome. And now that these financial tools are coming on the scene, it's making a big difference for miners. I'm assuming in China, Matrixport is getting a lot of that business when it comes to the lending to cover operational expenses.
Yeah, that's true. So Matrixport is getting quite a bit of attention in the Chinese mining market. But a lot of players like Baibao, Amber Group, and also a few other players, they're also gaining traction in the Chinese mining market as well, but in a different way. Take an example, Amber Group might be focusing on institutional. Baibao might be heavily focusing on miners. So take an example of Matrixport through currency linked products. So from our view, it's essentially an option product on the back end. So on the front end, it's actually showing as a miner, essentially a double priority saving account, but on the back end, it's actually option product. So Matrixport, they present it in a brilliant way that it's easy for the miners to understand. No fancy financial terms. So it's easier to get them to try out the product. So that's a brilliant way of Matrixport presenting to the market at the moment. They do have various other sort of strategies, angles, and also differentiations or focus points. So it really depends on what other sort of lending business they are targeting at, really.
I continue to be fascinated by these financial tools because the more that I discuss this commoditization of compute, which really is how I view Bitcoin, right? It's commoditized compute. Mm-hmm. Now there are all of these financial products that are coming on, which are supporting this commodity, right? Just like we have in traditional markets, if you were looking at flour or corn or oil.
Yep.
Iron, right? And it's
all those derivative product, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's legitimizing the space, I think. It's giving a sense of legitimacy to Bitcoin that really hasn't existed prior, really moving us into that next decade of adoption and innovation within Bitcoin mining, which is really cool to see. And with the Chinese mining community, to my understanding, it's very tight knit. And I know you guys are right there at the forefront of a lot of these conversations. What are the thoughts right now in China around the hardware race that we're seeing with WhatsMiner and really AntMiner, I think, are the two main players that most people are looking at?
It's an interesting question as well. And also, it's a hard question. I think it was about 2 days ago. About 2 days ago, Canon actually released their fourth quarter 2019 earnings. So the result wasn't great. So they were losing sort of money on there. And also, they were sort of dialing back a bit in terms of their view about the ASIC mining market. So the ASIC mining market in China is actually fairly interesting as well. So the top companies, say for example Bitmain, Ebon, and also Canon's Avalon miners, they all heavily concentrated in China. So from my view is that in terms of the ASIC mining market, it's getting harder and harder and harder. So before 5 nanometers chips, there were 8 nanometers, and now getting towards 5, but it's actually quite difficult to sort of improve the efficiency and also improve the overall architecture later on down the track, just because we are getting smaller, tinier, tinier, and tinier, and we are getting more powerful and powerful, powerful. Just basically, it's getting difficult to do R&D to further improve the chips and so on and so forth. So in terms of the ASIC mining market, that's the chip side. The other side is that when you look at logistics and also all those COVID-19 pandemic globally, it's actually impacting the ASIC business as well. So in the very beginning of this year, due to the COVID-19 outbreak in China, the logistics of various ASIC manufacturers were actually disrupted. And also all those employees couldn't back to work to manufacture those ASIC mining machines to the market. So a lot of those people actually initially getting worried just because they can't really produce enough machines, but higher demand on the ASIC mining machine just because halving, just because again, a lot of people want to try to mine Bitcoin during the rainy season. But things were getting better from beginning of the March, things turning better in China. So the logistics side and also the sort of manufacturing side actually getting back to normal globally. So things actually turns out quite positive in mid-March till now. And we were getting a lot of traction from the ASIC manufacturer side, and also positivity in terms of the miners in China trying to preparing rainy seasons in order to leverage the cheap electricity in China during the rainy seasons and so on and so forth. It's actually getting better and also positive in the market in China specifically at the moment.
So assuming that the coronavirus wasn't a thing, and I wish it wasn't, but with just the hardware, taking a snapshot of that, obviously you've got the S19s coming out or in the process of shipping. You've got the M30 line, the WhatsMiners that are going to be launching here on April 16th. And it just, to me, seems like those two players are head and shoulders above the rest of the field right now. With Canaan's recent numbers, do you see this continued separation? Or do you think that some of these other manufacturers will be able to make up some ground on Bitmain and MicroBT?
Yeah, that's a good question. When it comes down to words like those uncertainties in the market, especially this really chaos market at the moment, there are always opportunities and also challenges as well. So for those big players, they were facing challenges. It also presents opportunity in the market for smaller players to actually fast track their movement and also, I guess, trying to compete with their sort of competitors. So I've definitely see opportunities for those players to catch up or to try to leverage their advantages or leverage their sort of opportunity resources as well to try to hit their top players in the industry. But again, so for those players, say Bitmain, Canon, take an example, but they do have large resources, they do have large networks, and also they're well established in market in terms of logistics side, in terms of from capital side and so on and so forth. So it's very difficult for other players to shake out have the ground on their market share. I wouldn't say it's impossible, but it's quite difficult. Although Bitmain was being troubling in terms of their sort of financials, in terms of their service line, Canon has been losing a bit of a ground in terms of financially from the Q4 2019's financial report. But still, I believe the market is sort of positioning itself in terms of network effect. So essentially, the big boys taking the majority of market share, that's a natural sort of logic behind dominant players in the market, especially in the ASIC manufacturing grounds, just because it's capital intensive to enter the ASIC market. So not a lot of players will enter into the market easily, just because in the very beginning, they need to invest heavily on resources. They need to invest heavily on R&D to produce those chips, and also all those upstream, downstream connections, and need to know the miners. So all those things are really, really time consuming to build up. So I wouldn't call it for smaller players actually taking the opportunity to outcompete the big players, but they do have the opportunities to increase their shares, to move up the places if they leverage their sort of resources and also positioning well.
So with all that said, I mean, do you think there is the possibility for an American foundry to come online? I know there's been a lot of talk about decentralizing Bitcoin mining's industry around the world and out of China specifically. Is there a real possibility for an ASIC manufacturer to be built in America and be competitive with those that are already in existence in China? What do you think?
It's a possible front, but again, it's really hard. So the Chinese mining market, and also compared to the rest of the world, right? So it's very different in terms of mindset, as I said before. So in terms of the English channel, we do focus on, take an example, decentralizations, programmable money, the future of money, and so on and so forth. But the Chinese mining market, they don't have that particular mindset. So it's hard for a foreign company to try to enter into the Chinese mining market with a decentralization concept, just because the miners in China don't really take it, for one. For two, they need to understand why do you want to enter into the Chinese mining market, and also a trust issue as well. So same thing in terms of the financial industry. So say, for example, the Chinese miners only trust local firms or local connections. Even American company might just trust local connections, and the local firm don't really trust the Chinese mining market as well. So it's really tightly connected, and also present a trust issue, and also that actually presents an issues or challenges for those company want to try to enter into the Chinese mining market. So again, I see a possibility, but unless you have a solid knowledge around the Chinese mining market, plus decent amount of Chinese miners in terms of connections, in terms of network, and also in terms of branding, and also do have a Chinese representative in the Chinese market, just because of the language barrier, then I will call it there's a possibility for a company like that trying to grasp the market share in the Chinese mining market. Otherwise, I'll call it nearly impossible, unless the whole market structure or the whole market sentiment or the mindset shifts in Chinese mining market towards more a decentralization concept, towards more future money, and so on and so forth, then that might be a possibility or a strong possibility for some players like this to enter into the mining market.
I'm always curious about this because in the West, I think that and hear what I'm saying because it's not my opinion, but it's often stated that it's hard to trust Chinese miners, the Chinese market. In the West, you hear this perpetuated a ton. Why do you think that narrative spins up so easily? And is there, in your opinion, is there a mindset in China that seems to perpetuate this? Is it really easy to draw that correlation because there is a thought behind that? Or is this just some big misrepresentation by the West to dissuade people from working with China?
It's a tricky question. So it's actually a natural reaction in terms of not trusting different culture, just because, again, in terms of trust, right? So why do I trust a particular person? Why do I trust a particular company or relationship even? Just because we do have common knowledge, we do have common ground, we do have common interests, we speak the same languages, then we can sort of try to build that relationship, that try to build up that trust, right? So that's all happening around the traditional financial industry. So the traditional financial industry is actually heavily depends on trust as well. From my point of view, the reason behind the West not trusting the East and also the East not trusting the West, first of all, culture differences. The way the market in China works is very different compared to the West, plus the language barrier as well. So I do speak both languages, English and Mandarin. But again, when it comes down towards the Mandarin speaking side, so there are a lot of different perspectives around a particular scene. So when you're actually looking at like business and also a business in the cryptocurrency industry, right? So a lot of Chinese crypto business, they are more looking around profitability. They're more looking around actual money to drive the industry forward and also to drive the business forward. So all those people, their mindset is by establishing a business, you must owe money out of it. Everything else comes to second. So it has to be profit brought forward first, and then talking about all those fancy terms, talking about, say, for example, decentralization and so on and so forth. And also, yeah, actually fit the actual, I guess, actual reality in the Chinese crypto market as well. But on the other hand, obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, the West more around ideology. So all those Western companies, obviously, profit comes very important part as well. But they want sort of combining the ideology behind Bitcoin, blockchain concept, combining with the importance of profitability to deliver to the market in terms of driving the industry forward and so on. So it's a different mindset scene, which actually comes down towards trust as well. So because of the differences and because of the language barrier and because of the way two different group of people acting very, very differently, then we have a trust issue between all different cultures. So it all comes down towards culture, languages, mindset, and so on and so forth. That's why we do have a trust issue with the industry across, take an example, West and East.
I think the cultural difference is just the easiest way to chalk it up. Obviously, mining is incredibly cutthroat wherever you are. You know, if it's an American versus an American or a Chinese miner versus a Chinese miner or an American miner versus a Chinese miner, it's just competition, right? Everyone is competing for those blocks. So any competitive edge that you can get, any way to get an edge on your competition, I think is there. And then of course, what's the saying? It's easier to tear down than to build up. So I think that it's very common that people will throw dirt at their competition. And in this case, you know, whether it's the US government's leadership throwing dirt at Chinese leadership or vice versa, or US miners throwing dirt at Chinese miners or vice versa. It's just the way that the game is being played right now. But speaking of the Chinese miners, there's been a pretty big announcement from what I think is the most important overall brand in crypto, and that's Binance. And Binance has stated that they are going to be launching a Bitcoin mining pool. And it's my understanding that they've already started reaching out to miners to help them, you know, get switched over to Binance's Bitcoin mining pool. So what are your thoughts? What is CZ thinking? Why a Bitcoin mining pool?
Why Bitcoin mining pool? First and forefront, it's a natural move just because of business synergy, really. So what CZ and also, I guess, the Binance team is trying to build, they want to try to build a one-stop shop solution ranging from staking, mining, saving, lending to trading and so on and so forth. I saw a news article, they're also going to release a crypto debit card in the future. So that actually like sort of connected with every single aspect from the business side really nicely. So Binance is actually very interested in terms of the Chinese market as well. So we've seen OKEX, we've seen Huobi entry into the mining pool business in 2019. So they both account for around 10% of the total network hash rate. So the current move by Binance is actually trying to, for one, compete with the Huobi, compete with the OKEX from the cryptocurrency exchange side. For two, just because two of those cryptocurrency exchanges actually entered the mining pool business, then they must enter just because it's like a pizza. So everyone else in the industry is trying to do that. If you are not doing that, you will be left behind. So that's another sort of angle from it. And also, I guess, from the Binance branding's perspective. So a lot of people from the West know Binance initially at the moment. So it's actually a mixture of it. But I think a lot of people from the West actually recognize Binance as the top one or top tier cryptocurrency sort of powerhouse in the industry. Less know of Huobi, OK sector. So Huobi and OK quite heavily focusing in the Chinese market. They do have quite a decent amount of Chinese traders, players connected with them. But Binance, on the other hand, they did start in China, but they moved out since the regulations, crackdown, and more around international branding and so on and so forth. So I think at the moment, what Binance is trying to do is that, first of all, they're trying to connect resources in China, especially on the mining side. Secondly, they try to compete with the OK and also Huobi in terms of the mining business. Thirdly, they're trying to integrate the mining solution alongside with other solutions, staking, mining, saving, lending, trading, debit card, financial service, financial products, and so on and so forth into a one-stop shop solution. And fourthly, I think they want to try to bridge the gap between the East and the West as well, just because Binance, they do have international resources globally. Their branding in terms of global perspective, they are doing really great. On the other hand, they are trying to build up, they are trying to connect with the Chinese market at the moment. So they essentially can serve as a bridge between the West and the East. Same thing as TokenSci from the research perspective as well. We're trying to bridge the gap between the East and the West and so on and so forth.
When I'm looking at Binance, and really when I'm looking at the crypto industry, it is so small, right? Total market cap is, I mean, what is it right now? 200 billion. It's tiny. We have a very tiny total market cap for the entire industry. And you have these companies that are all trying to vertically integrate within a niche of crypto. I think what Binance has done is they've understood that it's such a small market. Real vertical integration happens across industries that are worth hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars. You know, when you look at like a Johnson & Johnson and they vertically integrate, they're not vertically integrating in a space that's only, you know, worth $200 billion total. They're integrating into multiple different, you know, companies and industries that range up and down a vertical that's in an industry worth trillions. I think CZ has just taken a step back and realized that all of crypto is so small that if he vertically integrates his already very strong brand through all of crypto, that he will come out the other side potentially having as almost a monopolistic control over crypto, being that it's not a regulated industry. I mean, that's capitalism at its finest, right? So I commend him. I mean, the coin market cap purchase, the getting into mining pools, obviously everything that he's done with Binance proper. I think he's one of the most important actors in crypto.
Yeah, I do agree with you. He's one of the most important actors in the industry. I guess from your point in terms of monopolistic sort of state, I wouldn't call it that, just because, again, for them to take such large move in terms of acquiring coin market cap, entry into the mining pool business, and in the future, debit cards, financial products, services and so on and so forth, it actually takes quite a bit of resources to do that. Though they do have strong capital reserve, they do have strong sort of branding and so on and so forth, but still for them, it's still difficult and also resources heavy to complete such action. I wouldn't call it a monopolistic state, just because again, Corby, OK, and also a lot of players such as Coinbase in the West, they're all trying to sort of find their business synergy and also find their unique perspective around the market as well. So I would call it a power. So they do have a strong business power, negotiation power in the market.
Sure.
They do have their own perspectives, but again, it won't come down towards a monopolistic state easily in the future. Again, so we are actually exploring the market. We are actually looking at the cryptocurrency market capitalization side. It's still small, but we are advancing the industry. We are trying to bring the cryptocurrency industry into the traditional finance world as well, trying to get people on board. So there are still a lot of fresh blue oceans opportunity around the industry from cryptocurrency exchange perspective, and also I guess from their sort of financial market perspective, there might be a player with such strong dominance in the market. But on the other hand, there are a lot of fresh perspectives that small players can actually easily go into and also expand, build up the relationship, and also trying to establish the company and also adding value, adding insights to the industry as well in the future.
Yeah, and I should clarify, when I say monopoly, I mean, I think that any startup, they should be setting out to monopolize their industry, right? They should be setting out to completely control their company's future. And I think the only way that you can do that is to get so big, so fast, and so dominant in your space that you dictate the movement of the industry overall. And I think that that's where CZ is positioning himself. I think that that's very close to where Binance will be in the next couple of years. The competition's there, right? OKX and Huobi. And truth be told, Huobi is my preferred exchange. I wish that I could use it more, but being that I'm, you know, a US citizen, it's not always easy for us to use the exchanges that we would prefer.
But
the diversification that Binance is showing is, it's savvy. The coin market cap purchase is one in particular, which, I mean, $400 million is no small amount of money. But when you think about when you think about CoinMarketCap as really the front page of crypto, right? It is the homepage for crypto. When people check the price of Bitcoin, they're going to CoinMarketCap. And I know that there are alternatives. And, you know, Twitter has been up in arms about CZ buying this is bad for crypto. And, you know, it is what it is. People are entitled to their opinions. Facts being facts, though, if you wanted to create a funnel for your business, there's no better place to start than the page everyone visits to check prices.
That's true. That's very true.
You know, if every day I'm going to go to CoinMarketCap and I'm going to look at the price of Bitcoin, and that's all I want to see. Like, I'm not interested in the, you know, 1500th ranked shitcoin and which markets it's traded on, right? I just want to see Bitcoin and ETH. I'm going to CoinMarketCap. Mm-hmm. It's simple. You know, I'm going to see the ads that are there on top. I'm going to be looking at the other resources that are listed there. It's a great way to get more business. And I mean, I think that in the next few years, that's going to prove to be a very cheap acquisition for Binance. I think that in the long run, that is going to be $400 million is going to be a cost worth paying considering the value that I think that purchase is going to bring.
Yeah, that's true. I'm personally very bullish on the rest of the data service provider, just because, again, I think Binance recognizes that in the next stage of the industry, of the cryptocurrency industry, data is very important for decision making, for one, to provide deep, deep insights in regards towards, take an example, I don't know, user behaviors, geographical locations, who's buying what, and so on and so forth. Those kind of things actually adds deep insights to the business. So that's why they think the CoinMarketCap is a viable option, and also is a great deal to acquire in the early stage and then build up like his, I know industry is trying to call like his empire, but it's actually a funny word. But anyway, in terms of the industry, so yeah. Binance is very smart. Like all those big players are very smart in the industry. They know what they are doing. They know what's in it for them and also what's the future for them as well. So I think, again, the CoinMarketCap purchase or the big moves by Binance recently actually reflects their sort of value and also actually reflects their, again, the vision and also the future trend in terms of the cryptocurrency market. Just basically looking at data perspective heavily depends on data acquisition, user acquisition, all those kind of stuff.
Information is the most important asset, I think, for any company moving into their stage of exponential growth. You've got to be able to accumulate and properly use information. And in crypto, you know, obviously there's the enhanced impetus to also be responsible with that information, because a lot of that information is the sensitive information of other people and their personal information and data. So I think there's just that extra layer of importance when it comes to the handling of information.
That's true.
Someone had told me a few years ago that they think that the businesses of the future will actually be led by chief information officers rather than chief executive officers. So they see a switching where the CIO will actually be the head of a company and the CEO will just be a member of the executive team.
From that point of view, that's a really fresh perspective for me. But again, I do tend to agree with you, just because like information data is critically important for making business decisions or even personal decisions, really, because my background is more around analytics. So I know why data is really important. I know why particular aspects that we need to dig into to analyze it before we're making a decision. Just because without those data, without those information, we don't even know which direction should we go into. It's like walking blindly towards a tunnel route and so on and so forth. So all those kind of data, whether market data, whether user traffic, whether on-chain, take example, or whether first-hand research data are critically important for any business and also for any individual to make an informed decision, really.
Absolutely. And that kind of brings us full circle back around to Token Insight, oddly enough, right? I'd love to hear, what are you guys looking at as far as the information and the trends post-halving? What are some of the interesting or intriguing topics that you guys are researching further?
We did a bit of an analysis on the hash rate front and also in terms of what could happen post-halving for the Bitcoin third halving. From our perspective, we also leverage our unique aspect to interview miners, looking into what's their thoughts in terms of third halving. And also, like, especially for those miners who have already experienced the like second halving or even first halving in the very beginning, to understand their view on the mining market or on the cryptocurrency market. And also, I guess we leverage data points to sort of to discover or to analyze, to test the model that we built to see what we're going on going into the future post-halving and so on and so forth. So we don't really have a particular view on the post-halving just because, again, the market is the market. We just need to respect the market, but we need to analyze it. We need to propose different scenarios to see how it's going to change in post-halving. So that's our capability and our perspectives in terms of looking at the market. The other angle is that really we do have, I guess, we do have in terms of the halving, right? I think overall, it's a positive trend in terms of the industry. Secondly, in terms of the mining market, it could have a really, really strong shift in terms of the players, just because halving coupled with relatively weak Bitcoin market at the moment. So it's going to be tough for those miners in the industry to sort of to generate profit, to make investment decisions around the halving point. That's what we discovered. Or maybe that's also an industry consensus as well. The Bitcoin network hash rate could drop significantly. I'm more leaning towards that. Could drop significantly post-halving. By how much, I'm not exactly too sure. But from my personal view, it has to drop significantly in order to redistribute those efficient miners or redistribute all those players in the industry in order to deliver the Bitcoin network even more efficiently. And also sort of, that's more to reduce inefficiency around the mining market, just because at the moment, still some players are using outdated or less efficient hardware to mine Bitcoin at the moment, just because they still can profit. Post-halving, those outdated, those less efficient miners will be shut off. Some of the miners will be closed shop, obviously. So that actually redistribute all those wells, all those powers to those miners who understand the market, who actually can implement their strategy well, who actually have experience in terms of those halving and so on and so forth. So it's, overall, it's actually very positive from the industry perspective, but tough for those inexperienced miners or high marginal cost miners. They have to shut up.
Does Tokenite Insight have any other upcoming releases or events or any other news that you'd like to share?
Yeah, so we're about to release our quarterly report on exchanges, so both spot and derivative. So we're in the middle of a process in terms of finalizing at the moment. And we will also release a quarterly report on mining industry and also DeFi, decentralized finance industry. So those are the four main angles that we are looking at, we're researching, we're actively participating at the moment. So other stuff, take an example of the market, the cryptocurrency options market, and also public chain, smart contract, Web 3.0, all those kind of stuff we're also paying attention to. But just because business focus and also the sort of natural advantages being in China, we need to leverage our sort of resource well. So that's why we're mainly focusing on exchanges plus mining perspectives and also plus a bit of a DeFi, just because DeFi, everyone's talking about it. China, the Chinese market is also very fascinated about DeFi, how DeFi can actually work around, how DeFi can actually integrate with CeFi, what's the purpose of DeFi, what's the future of DeFi, and so on and so forth. Yeah, so that's the main angle that we are looking for at the moment. In the future, when it comes down towards the market, we were looking at the financial market side as well, looking at how options can actually tell us a story behind the market sentiment, how futures data can tell us the market condition and on-chain data and so on and so forth. So it's actually well connected and well integrated, but we do have our priority.
Awesome. Well, you know, Johnson, I'm excited to see what you guys are going to continue to do at Token Insight. And I will make sure that we include all the relevant links in the show's notes. But I'm grateful that you were able to make the time. I know that it's not always easy to find an hour to chat. So thank you for making the time to come on the show today.
No worries. Thanks, Hashray, invite me as well. It's a great opportunity to hear your perspective and also, again, to tell our story in the market as well, to see what's the different side of from being in West and also linking towards the East as well. So it's been a great pleasure for me to join and really, really appreciate for you to invite me on this. Really.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again sometime soon. I know you guys have a lot that you're going to keep working on, and it's always good to give people the perspective of those such as yourself who are doing amazing research. So that's awesome. And to the listeners of the Hashrate podcast, we are incredibly grateful that you continue to tune into the show. We know these are weird times and you could be doing anything. I am thankful that you choose to spend an hour of your day with us. And until we talk to you guys all again soon, please, everyone out there, stay safe.
Thanks for tuning into the Hash Rate Podcast. We appreciate your continued support. Please do us a favor and leave us a rating and review on your preferred listening platform. And head over to Twitter and give us a follow at Hash Rate. That's at H4SHR8.